back to By Any Means Necessary on Radio Sputnik in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sean Blackman, here with Jackie Lupo. And as always, we are your guides for connecting the political, social, and economic movements shaping the world around us. And today we're talking about political developments in Haiti. And we're joined for this conversation by Kim Ives, editor of the English section of Haiti Liberté. Kim, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Jackie.
Absolutely. And Kim, it is being reported that in Haiti, one Leon Charles, who is a former soldier with the now defunct Armed Forces of Haiti, you know, will assume the head of the Haitian National Police once again. I believe he had served as HNEP chief from 2004 until 2005, and is actually being recalled to Haiti from Washington by Haitian President Jovenel Moïse, who continues to rule by decree there in Haiti. And I feel like there's, to say the very least, a troublesome history with Charles and quite a bit of information that was revealed about his activity through WikiLeaks cables. And so, Kim, I'm just wondering, first of all, you could sort of describe who Charles is. And, you know, why do you think he's sort of being sort of resuming his position as the head of HNP? And what do you see as the ripple effects?
Well, Leon Charles is apparently a longtime agent, we could say, of the United States. He apparently, according to a major who was speaking on the radio in Haiti back in 2005, went to the U.S. Naval Academy and became, as always, the U.S. proxy to be in charge of Haiti's sole armed force at that time, the Haitian police. Since that time, the Haitian army has been reactivated, even though it remains much smaller. But the police force was the key armed force in Haiti. National force, because there was U.N. military occupation, which began immediately after the February 29th, 2004 coup against President Jean-Bertrand Aristide. So U.S., Canadian, and French troops came in, militarily occupied Haiti, and they put this guy, Leon Charles, in at the head of the police. He ended up having about a year and a half term, which was completely corrupt as well as repressive. He was renowned for his savage repression of the resistance to the coup d'etat against Aristide and to the foreign military occupation that was emanating primarily from two large shanty towns in Port-au-Prince. One is Cité Soleil, the largest, and the other was Bel Air. And he went into these areas and gunned down hundreds, some say thousands of people. And really what we did in Haiti Liberté this past week was look at that experience, because now since November 16th, he has been placed at the head of the police. And the other aspect that we caught our interest was the announcement on the 26th of November of a new intelligence force, which is really a kind of a Gestapo force aimed at not just information intelligence gathering on the Haitian population, but even enforcement. They can go and arrest and even kill somebody with their agents. This force is called the Agence Nationale d'Intelligence, ANI, A-N-I. And this was also very much part of Leon Charles's MO, if you will, back in 2004 and 5. We learned from the WikiLeaks cables that he was putting together intelligence groups to go into Cité Soleil to identify the targets. And indeed, they ended up assassinating the leaders of this resistance, not through a simple gunshot, but through raids, for instance, that of July 6th, 2005, where they came in with 1,400 UN troops backed up by Haitian National Police and fired 22,000 rounds in the space of just 6 hours, dropping grenades from helicopters on this tightly packed shanty town. And they ended up killing the leader of the resistance, the principal leaders of the resistance in Cité Soleil, Dred Wilmay.
Yeah, you know, Kim, I'm glad that you mentioned the United Nations, because I think people are not clear that the United Nations is involved in the ongoing turmoil in Haiti, but it's difficult to understand, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it, which side are they on? What has been the United Nations role in these administrations, these leaders that have caused so much chaos, continued chaos in Haiti?
Well, just to give a little step back for the listeners, the United Nations peacekeeping operations have become the new proxy of imperialist rule, both for the U.S. and to some extent for Western Europe in the quote-unquote third world. It used to be done, as we know, through sort of tin horn dictators, Duvalier, Somoza, Marcos, Pinochet, whatever. But, you know, these guys were counterproductive in the end. They caused more Che Guevara's to be birthed than bringing stability. And so they moved to a new format where you have these demonstration elections, bring in a neoliberal puppet, and then you enforce their rule by the so-called multinational peacekeeping force. So Haiti has been very much the laboratory for this. And they had foreign military occupations, both after the 1991-94 coup against Aristide, and UN troops came in for about 6 years, from 1994 till 2000. And then Aristide came back shortly after their departure, not coincidentally, and they organized another coup d'etat against them, and they were brought back again then in 2004, that is 10 years later, and they remained this time for almost 16 years. It was only recently that Haiti got out of what at the United Nations is called Chapter 7, where basically the UN Security Council, which, as we know, is only five members, the US, France, England, Russia, and China, the US Security Council was essentially directing Haiti, directing the armed force of Haiti, which were these thousands of foreign soldiers. And why did they use UN troops instead of, say, U.S. or French troops? Because they cost half the price. That's what a government accounting office study found. So the UN was essentially used for a decade and a half to police Haiti, to tamp down the anti-imperialist resistance to not only the coup d'etats against Haiti's elected leaders, in both cases, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, but against the resistance to neoliberal reforms, to the takeover of the state industries, to all the nefarious things we see done under these neocolonial regimes. And so the United Nations essentially has been Washington's handmaiden in its neocolonial oppression of Haiti.
Yeah, and this suppression of resistance movements and trying to beat back any effort that would, you know, be against neoliberalism in Haiti, I think is important, Kim, and particularly when you talk about this new intelligence agency that you describe as something more akin to a Gestapo force than an actual intelligence group. And I mean, it makes me wonder, I mean, how does this bode for, you know, human rights and in Haiti, as, you know, there continues, I think, to be a movement there. And I mean, I don't know. Do you see this as a move on behalf of Jovenel Moise, you know, to sort of maintain his position as president, or to sort of further help keep his position? Or how do you see that from the standpoint of Jovenel?
Absolutely. It is an effort by the Jovenel Moïse group to retain power. This is in many ways a prophylactic, if you will, against the rising popular movement against Jovenel to remove him from power. As by any means necessary, listeners may recall, Jovenel Moïse is constitutionally bound to step down from power on February 7th, 2021, according to the most prevalent reading of the Constitution. There is, in fact, another reading which says he has another year, but that is the minority reading. The majority, that is the majority of the Haitian people and the majority of constitutional scholars, say that he should be stepping down basically in 2 months' time. But he shows absolutely no signs of being ready to accept that. And furthermore, the U.S., under the Trump administration at least, has been backing him and saying that the only thing he really has to do, the only red line they've ever given him, is that he hold parliamentary elections by January next month. Now, this is almost clearly not going to happen. He is claiming that he wants to rewrite the Constitution before he holds these elections. So he's just going into absolutely crazy illegality, because the idea of writing a constitution without a sitting parliament, without any other institutions of state, he is essentially running Haiti like the Duvalier dictatorship. And so this is essentially what, for instance, in our Haiti Liberté piece last week, we quote one of the leading human rights lawyers, and he says this is essentially the reinstitution of the Duvalier dictatorship. This intelligence force is really not just there to spy and infiltrate the opposition and the anti-imperialist resistance, but it's there to arrest them. And they have total impunity. These guys are anonymous. They have fake identities. They carry guns. So it's a very severe situation, to the point where even the core group, that is the Washington-aligned ambassadors, are saying there's a problem here.
Definitely. I definitely tend to agree. It does look like a repeat of the Duvalier dictatorship insanity, completely enabled by Washington. Well, we thank you so much, Kim, as always, for joining us today. We're going to leave it there and move to a break here on By Any Means Necessary on Radio Sputnik in Washington, D.C. But we will be back. So please stay with us.